Good evening, ladies. Hello, hello. It is April 20th, Wednesday, April 20th at 7 p.m., and we are here for April Q&A call for the Little Black Business Book. So I know that we just welcomed a lot of new members over the last few weeks, so this is probably the first time for a lot of you. So I'll just give you a quick, really quick and dirty breakdown of how it happens here, and it's super, super easy. I usually just dive right in. I don't have any agenda. I don't do any kind of training or anything because I want to make sure that everyone gets their questions answered. So we usually just dive right into the Q&A, and we usually fill up the hour. You know, we'll be here for about an hour or so, depending on how many questions we have. If you are calling on the phone and you want to raise your hand, you have a question, you want to get some coaching around something, you want to bounce an idea off of me, press star 2, and that will raise your hand and put you in the queue. If you are calling from the web, there is a box there for you to put your Q&A. And then I also periodically check the Facebook group. It's a little hard with the Facebook group sometimes because, you know what, stuff gets lost. But every now and then I'll check there to see if there's any questions in there as well. So if you're on the webcast, just type in your question. If you are calling, press star 2, and that will put you in the queue. All right, cool. So I'm just going to go ahead and get started, and we do have one hand raised already, so I'm going to go ahead and go to Miss Lisa Marie. Hello.
Hello, Jen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really, really, really good today. Thanks for asking.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, super pumped for a lot of good things. I have a question, and this is like a general question about when you're attempting to work with a client, and the client sort of falls like head over heels, like in love with you, and you're there, you know, you're going to be the one to save the day for them and all of that, and everything feels great, the chemistry's good, and then when it comes down to actually going through with it, the person sort of backs out graciously, and it's because, or at least I'm being told, this has happened to me on a couple of occasions, I'm being told that it's because they've had a poor experience with a former coach and that they're scared to go forward. I don't know, is there something that I can do to try to ease their angst or ease their fear about that, or is that something that they have to own and do on their own?
Well, I think there's definitely stuff that you can do, you know, in the process of, you know, for lack of a better word, like courting them when you're, you know, talking to them and, you know, messaging them or have them on the phone or whatever. You know, it's really about bringing the value forward. Like, what can Lisa Marie bring? How is Lisa Marie different than all the other coaches? Because they probably just have this, like, you know, like, to be honest, like, straight up, it's an excuse. So I'm not trying to, like, validate that for them. But I do think it's partially our responsibility as well to make sure that they don't have any question marks. And that they know, like, the value that's there and that they are a hell yes. But from what it sounds like, from what you just told me about that woman, it does sound like an excuse. Because I think a lot of times, you know, we do get burned. We, you know, have things bad happen to us. And there may be a little bit of fear, but why get on the phone with you in the first place? You know, so then
right. There
has to be
right. Something
that drew her to you, that, you know, had you guys having the conversation in the first place. So, you know, I don't know if it's just maybe you remind her of somebody, but like I said, like, that is just that's our job, is to eliminate all of that for them. So,
right.
You know, that could be a little bit of digging on your end. It's just like, how am I going to present the value? Or even if you said, like you said, it happened more than once, like, figure out why, you know, figure out why, see what the parallels are, see if there's something the same or whatever between those two people, and see how you can fix it. And if that becomes an objection again, you have a way to handle it.
Okay. All right, cool. Thank you so much. I definitely, I can certainly work around that. I just didn't know how much of it I should own and how much of it is really their stuff that they have to own and kind of get through. But, of course, I want to be there to support the person and to let them know that just because they may have been burned or may have had a bad experience with someone else doesn't necessarily mean that's going to happen again, and to just give me that chance to prove that to them, you know? I appreciate the honesty and the feedback. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Alrighty, I'm going to go to, it says, I can't even say it, but the last name is De Palma from New York. Hello.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Shannon. I just joined, I think just last week I just joined.
I knew you weren't Anthony, so.
that's my husband. Yeah, my name is Shannon. It's actually, does it say Schenectady, New York?
Yeah, I just was not even going to attempt to try to say that.
Don't even go near that.
how's it going?
I live in Jersey, though, now, so
okay.
I'm right there with you. Yeah. So my question is about, I opened up a program. I didn't put too much time into a program. I was just kind of testing out to see, you know, did people on my list want this program? So I put this idea out for a program. I think I did like one webinar on it, and I did have one student sign up, and it was just like within a week. And now I just have one student, and that's it. And it's like three live classes and homework, but now what do I do? I mean, I have just one girl signed up for it. I've been trying to get more to sign up, and it's just not happening. So what do I do with my one student now?
Okay, so tell me, was there not, like, a open date and close date for this? Like, people,
yeah.
Like, if I signed up today, I would just start today, and if I signed up 3 weeks from now, I would start in 3 weeks, or how does
right.
that work?
Right. Okay. So it was like the 3 week thing. So I opened it 3 weeks ago, and it starts next Tuesday. And
okay.
So that's pretty much where I'm at today. Like today I sent out the other email reminder, but still I only have one student. So now I'm starting to panic a little bit.
Okay. Well, tell me what you've done so far besides the webinar.
Okay. So I did the webinar. I did, I do a lot of, you know, like active in Facebook groups. A lot of my students are like wedding professionals or bloggers, creative small businesses. And so I did the webinar, I did Facebook ads with the landing page, two different types of those, one for the class and one just for like an opt-in, like a sales strategy opt-in. And then I emailed all of those again to remind them about the program today and my list.
Okay. Do you think you can do another webinar between now and Tuesday?
Yeah, I could definitely do another one. I'm just concerned about how many people I might get to go to this one.
Well, I'll answer your question, but I want to help you strategize a little bit around it.
Okay.
But to answer your question, what do you do with that student? You still run the course. I would still run the course, whether you have one people, two people, 10 people, or 20.
Okay.
And I actually had this conversation with Denise Duffield Thomas, Lucky Bitch. There
mm-hmm.
is actually the replay on my website somewhere where we talked about this, where we talked about, you know, sometimes when people put out programs, like we think, oh, my gosh, only two people signed up, so I'm just going to refund their money and I'm not going to do it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we had this conversation and she said, do it. Just do it with the two people and then you can, you know, look back for your launch, look at what you've done, see where you can make changes and then launch it again. So I don't think it matters how many people. Maybe with one person, maybe you could offer her something that is a little bit different, that's more one-on-one, because essentially that's what it's going to be anyway. But, yeah, I would say if you have more than two people, still run it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would do another webinar. People always wait to the last minute, and
yeah.
if there is no reason for them to buy right now, then why would they? So, you know, are you offering any kind of bonus, early bird discount? Did you do any of that stuff?
Yeah, so for the people that signed up within the first week that it was open, they got a bonus. They got two bonuses. I asked like someone else to contribute some other little, like it was basically like another small class on Instagram, and so they could get that, and they could also get a one-on-one strategy session with me. So then that was the bonus, and it was like $80 less than if they signed up today.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just, you know, for the next week, I mean, you have 6 days basically.
Yeah.
For the next week, I would just throw it all out there. I would put it all out there. I would, however you think, like, you probably think, oh my gosh, I'm talking about it a lot or I'm posting about it a lot. Like,
uh-huh.
Do more than you think that you should do. I would definitely host another webinar. Send more emails. I don't know how many emails you have in the queue to send between mm-hmm. now and then, but, you know, really encourage the people to sign up and make sure that they know or they have some kind of urgency to sign up.
Okay.
So I think you still have time. One of my good friends says, you know, don't quit until the cart closes because we know that everybody waits until the last minute. So keep going. Do as much as you can. Do more than you think you have to. And let us know how you make out.
Okay. Can I ask just one more question?
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of urgency should I, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, what kind of urgency I can put on it. And I was like, I don't know. Do I say I'm not going to offer it again? But it seems like it would be a good course. So I'm not sure. So what kind of urgency can I put on it?
Yeah, I mean, urgency could be a couple different things. It could be, you know, maybe you can throw in another bonus or get a different bonus than the one that you offered before. Cart closing is actually urgency, right? Because people think that they have time in the world. So that's, you know, kind of like a built-in urgency that's going to happen anyway over the next couple days. And you've already done the discount, so I wouldn't say to do that anymore at this point. But that would be another example of urgency, like the price is going up or this bonus is going away, the cart is closing. Those are all examples of urgency in your launch process.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. So let us know how you make out, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All righty. I got some calls here. All right. I'm going to take one more call, and then I'm going to go to the Q&A box. So I'm going to go to Jasmine. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So my question, I'm a resume writer, and recently I had someone ask me if I offered a guarantee, and then I've had two people ask me about my success rate. So as a resume writer, I'm just writing the resume and kind of that's the end of the relationship. So I just didn't necessarily know how I should be answering these questions as regard to a guarantee and success rate. As for, like, working on the resume, I offer unlimited revisions until it's a resume you love, but I don't necessarily want to say if you don't get a job in 6 months, you can have your money back.
Yeah, no. You know, the only way that I would make a guarantee like that is if you were charging a lot of money, you know. Then you could, you know, do multiple revisions and things like that. I mean, obviously, it is going to be if there. I mean, what do you charge for the resume?
I charge $200.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's pretty standard. And these people, I'm sure, are going for jobs that are going to make them how many thousands of dollars a year? 40, 60, 100 possibly?
Possibly. I've had it come from people, executives. I've had executives who kind of treat it like it's not enough money. Like, one of the people, once I said it was 200, she started asking me if I worked with executives. So I feel almost like executives just want to pay more.
So why, I mean, who is your target market?
I think my target market is women in their early to mid-30s who are looking to figure out what they're passionate about and move towards a job that they're really in love with. So they generally do have at least a bachelor's degree and are working.
Okay. So what was the original question? Like, should you offer a guarantee or...
Yeah, do you offer any types of guarantees? And then how do you talk about a success rate with people? Like, if people ask you what's your success rate, do you say, like, 20% of my clients, or has that ever come up for
you? I mean, that's something that you're just going to have to you're going to have to keep track of. So as you start to do resumes for people, I would just keep in touch with them and ask them, you know, let me know when you get a job or let me know, you know, what happens. That way you can kind of, you do want to know that. I would think that you would want to know that for yourself as well, you know, not just for other people if they ask you. So, yeah, I would definitely just keep in touch with your clients and see if they can give you that information, because that would be really good to know. That's also something you'd be able to put, like, in your copy on your sales page, things like that. You know, I have a whatever percent, you know, success rate and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't really offer a guarantee, right? Because they're the ones that have to go in and do the interview and get the job.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of out of your hands at that point, right?
Yeah. I know some large companies, because I write for other companies, they offer, like, if you don't get a job in 6 months, send it back, and we'll have another writer work on it.
Now, is it that they don't get a job or they don't get an interview?
Actually, it might be interview. I have to go back and check. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I would do some research then. If there, you know, if there's obviously, you know, bigger companies, there's probably other people like you that do similar work. Like, I would do research and see how they present it, see if they're, if, you know, that's like an industry standard thing to offer a guarantee. But like I said, definitely wouldn't, I don't think it would be for the job, maybe for the interview. But I don't think it would be for the job, because at that point it's out of your hands.
Okay.
But yeah, I would
thank you.
And do what feels right, you know. Even like what you're charging is what you're charging a normal fee for what people would charge for a resume. Is it low? Is it high? You know, how can you add value to what you're doing? Is it just a resume? Are you helping them with other stuff? Are you helping them with interview skills?
Mainly it's just the resume. I do interview skills. I do have packages, and my coaching program includes a resume. But this has come up with people who have just contacted me from for resume writing, generally through LinkedIn ProFinder.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I would definitely, I mean, I would want to know that if I was, you know, doing the resumes. I would want to know how many of my people were getting interviews and, you know, how long even, you know.
Okay.
That's a little tough. It's tough there. So I would do some more research around there. And maybe it's not even something that you offer anymore. You know, maybe you only offer it within your packages. And then you can offer again, you know. Because then you'll be able to actually see what the success rate is.
Yeah. So I have a stronger connection with those guys.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else?
Nope, that's it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All righty, I'm going to go to the Q&As. All right. Lakeisha says, I'm on the phone, don't know how to ask a question. You star two if you want to talk. And that'll raise your hand. But your question is, how long do I promote my webinar before the webinar date? I would do about a week. I wouldn't do any more than a week because people will forget about it. So I would do it about a week. If you don't have any audience at all, then maybe you push it out to 10 days just so that you can maybe do some Facebook ads and get a lot of buzz going around it. But I usually don't promote my webinars, you know, for more than a week. All right, Marla says hi. Suzanne, I think, was trying to raise your hand. Star two. Let's see. All right, so Suzanne's question is, this is a follow-up to what I asked on Monday office hours thread, looking for suggestions to connect with and research the needs of entrepreneur moms and maybe even mostly online entrepreneur moms who need help with mothering well. Yeah, Suzanne, I meant to ask you that because you said that you weren't getting a lot of traction in some of the entrepreneur groups that you're in. So I was just, you know, if you can call in, I would love to, like, actually physically chat with you about it so that I can kind of figure out what's going on there. And let me see. I would like to know, like, what groups you're actually in. I don't think the moms groups that you were originally posting in probably aren't the best ones. But if you are targeting entrepreneur moms, I feel like there's lots of us. I mean, I know I'm an entrepreneur mom. I know there's lots of them within the group. So maybe it's just the way that you're presenting the questions or the survey or whatever it is that you are looking for. So if you can dial in, that would be awesome. And then we can chat about that a little bit more. All right, Megan says, I don't have a question so much as a fear. I have a full-time job. I'm also a caregiver for my mom. I do everything alone in addition to building my business. I'm seriously overwhelmed. My entire program, my business, is built on life balance to health, and I am so out of balance. How can I tell people in my program when I'm not even living it myself? I feel like a complete fraud. This is totally, totally normal, Megan. I think at one point or another, we've all kind of felt like a fraud. And, you know, what you have to do is know that, you know, whatever you're showing people and what you're teaching people, that you know how to do that for them and that you can shift that for yourself. So you have an awareness. You kind of know what's going on. And you also, it sounds like, have things that are outside of your control, you know, having to care for your mom and everything like that, building a business. So, yeah, I mean, I would kind of dive deep into what you really want to do, who you really want to help, and what you really want for your business and for your life. A lot of times when we start to feel like a fraud, it's usually one of two things that I've noticed. It's either that we are doing work that we don't feel completely aligned with. So check in with yourself and see if this work that you're doing is what you want to do and what you're meant to be doing. And the other thing, the second thing would be that you're actually on the brink of something really amazing happening, and you're questioning yourself and you're having a little bit of self-doubt. So I would check into that. If you can call in too, I think, you know, a question like this sometimes is better handled like through a conversation. So if you can call in or raise your hand *2, I would love to help you around some of that so I can get a little bit of a better idea about your business and what you do. All right, I'm going back to the lines, and I have someone from Salt Lake City. Hello?
Jen? Is it me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the area code is Salt Lake, but I'm in San Diego now. This is Susan. Susan.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Cool. I was like, I was wondering because I saw San Diego and I was looking for San Diego on here. But cool. All right. So tell me then, tell me like what the issue is again, and then tell me like what you've tried.
Sure. I found exactly what you said when I posted in the moms group. It's just like they're not on the same wavelength as the help that I want to offer. But when I post in the entrepreneur groups, Little Black Business Book to some extent, but some others as well, it seems like people are more interested in talking about their business. And I don't know if it's like a privacy thing that they don't want to reveal that, or if I'm not asking the right way, because I know that if they get some of their mom stuff squared away, it's going to totally shift things with their business and their efficiency and their client relationships. So I know it affects their business, but my proven track record is in the mom stuff. And so I don't want to start saying I can do that until I actually have that kind of result to show.
Okay. So is your question that you're not sure where to find these moms?
Where to find them, or if there is maybe a strategy for posting in these groups that would make them feel more comfortable talking about the mothering stuff, or just pretty much whatever you feel like would be useful, because I feel like I have some sense of the problems that they have, but I need to be in touch with these moms directly and get a back and forth going. And so any suggestions you have there would be very much appreciated.
Okay, now tell me, who is your ideal mom? Like, you say entrepreneur mom, but, like, where is she at on her entrepreneurial journey? Is she just starting? Is she a seasoned business owner? Like who is she?
Probably a seasoned business owner with younger children. Teenagers are kind of a whole different ballgame, so I'm not specifically going after moms if that's all that they have. But especially young children, my Montessori background, I'm and especially with what you can do with the mindset when they're that young, is kind of my ideal client. So I would say she is successful in her online business, not necessarily 6 or 7 figures, but she might be, but that she knows there's stuff in the mothering that she's doing that is not where she wants it to be, that she wants to step up that part of her life.
And what do you help them with specifically?
I help them with anything with mothering, pretty much. I mean, because I've worked with mothers of children from having, you know, really strong problems, autism spectrum disorders, to just children where probably the most common thing is that mom's confidence, lack of confidence, gets in their way, and they don't set the boundaries, and they don't have the confidence in their own minds about what their children can do, as well as their need to set the boundaries so that everybody is cooperating at home. And, I mean, it may not seem like a big deal, but when people start doing it, it just shifts everything. And so what I tell people is most moms are 80% like managing and disciplining and doing stuff for their kids and 20% fun stuff. I flip that on its head. You know, you're still going to have some things that you need to do that aren't, you know, super joyful, but it should be 80-20. It should be 80% of the time things are moving smoothly, and 20% or less are those kind of tricky times, or the, you know, just the drudge of phone calls to pediatricians and stuff like that.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't know if it's that they don't want to talk about it. I think it's more mm-hmm. that they are so focused on the business that that's like, mm-hmm. that's not a priority when they're in those groups.
Right.
So are you looking for people to connect with, like just to do market research, or are you looking for like where to find your clients?
Both. Right now I would be happy with either one.
Okay. So I think that you should be able to get at least some research and get some people on the phone if you just present mm-hmm. it that way. You
okay.
know, letting them know that you just want to connect, you're doing some research, things like that. As far as getting clients, I feel like you're going to have to think outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that by going into groups is probably not the way that's going to work for you. I think that for you, a couple things that come to mind are LinkedIn might be a really great place for you because they're more professional women and they're not as, like, I don't know. I don't want to make any judgments on people, but it seems like they're more like focused. And LinkedIn is just such a different place than Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people get so wrapped up in Facebook and stuff. So I feel like your ideal client might be there if she's already successful. She might not even be hanging out in groups. She might not, you know. So how can you get to her? So I would say LinkedIn, and then I would also say Facebook ads. I don't know if you have an opt-in already. But if you can have an opt-in that speaks directly to that mom and get it in front of them in a Facebook ad rather than trying to fight your way through these groups when you know that most of the people in these groups have this, like, tunnel vision and they're just like,
mm-hmm.
how am I going to get clients? How am I going to get money? You know, they're not thinking about, like, everything else that's going on. So I think an ad
exactly.
would be a better way to get in front of them because then you can, like, specifically target those people. It's just going to be in their feed. So yeah, I would look into those two things for you.
That's great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. All right. I'm going to someone in Atlanta, Georgia. Hello.
Hey. Hi, this is Lakeisha.
Oh, hi. Good.
Hey. Hi. I'm sorry. I asked a question earlier. I didn't know I had to push the star too. So thanks for that. My next question. Hi, Jen. By the way, how are you?
I'm good. I'm fantastic. Are you a newbie?
I am a newbie. I signed up about 2 weeks ago. Yes, I'm super excited. I've been stalking you for a while, though, because I originally was on a journey to become a business coach about 2 years ago, and worked with some great coaches, but then realized that I'm not a coach, I'm a strategist. And so after realizing that I was a strategist, I knew I needed to niche it down, because even when I told people, oh, I'm a business strategist, they were like, okay, so what do you do? So I use my love of social media to get people, you know, in front of their ideal client. So visibility was my thing. And when I searched online and saw that there were other visibility coaches, but primarily you and how you were killing it, I said, yes, this is it for me. So you completely inspired me. I was the best kept secret for about 2 years. I spent over $50,000 my first year going working with all these different coaches, thinking that I just needed all this education, just needed all of this experience. And but I realized it was fear. I didn't put myself out there because I was afraid, and so I had to move past that, and I have. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm just super excited to find you and your group. So thank you for that.
Yay, and I just want to point out something that you said for everybody that's listening, mm-hmm. is that, you know, you felt like you were stalking me, you were watching me for a while. Like, I always, like, try to ingrain that in people. Like, someone's always watching, and you never know who's following you. You never know who's, like, reading every single email that you put out there, or every single Facebook.
Yes.
And you just got to just, like, keep going. You know, even when you think nobody's listening, there's somebody listening for sure.
Yes, yes, and they are. And the funny thing is I always put out inspirational stuff, right, but I never really put anything out like, hey, work with me, or, you know, I don't have a group program yet. That's what I'm going to be working to do through your group. And so I just do one-on-one stuff right now. But people see me, and then as soon as I put out different stuff about asking questions, I started a little group, and people are all excited, and I'm like, look at this. Why did I wait so long? You know, because you're right. People, they do watch you. They watch and they wait for you to offer. So for all the people that may be listening, if you're not offering or letting people know that you're available to work with them, they'll just keep watching until somebody else until somebody offers, and then they'll go with that person. So I learned that as well.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
I did
okay.
Answer your question, but did you have another one?
Yeah, I did. I just have one short question. I'm in the process of creating my very first group program, and I also am going to do like a club, right, similar to a membership site. I wanted to get your take. Do you think it's smarter for me to start with my membership site first and then launch the course? Or do it the opposite way, or does it really matter?
That's a really great question. What is your audience like now? Like, what's your list like, your social media following, all that stuff?
Mm-hmm. My list is relatively small. I have about 300 people on my list right now. I haven't done Facebook ads or anything, so I'm gearing up to do that. I'm going to do that for my webinar. And, of course, when I launch the group program and the club, so I'm definitely going to get into Facebook ads. Right now I have about 1,100 people on my Facebook page. I have over 2,500 on my Twitter page, and I am at about 1,300 on my Instagram.
Awesome. Cool. So for you, I would probably start with a group, because if you have a really good relationship with the people on your list, you could probably get more people into that. What I would do is kind of start to seed and tease the club as you're putting out the group. So one of your bonuses for your group could be you're going to get 6 months access to the whatever club. So that way you're already starting to, like, put it out there. And then what you can do is, because, like, here's one of the things with a membership site. Like, once you start, you might only have one or two people. You know, then you just have, like, one or two people in a Facebook group, whereas if you take all the people that sign up for your group and say, hey, you guys can get access to the club for, like, an additional 3 months, then you at least have people in there as you start to promote that membership site. So for you, because of the size of your list and everything, I would start with the group and then move into the membership.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. I look forward to learning so much more from you, and I love the group. I love that it's so engaging, and people are just so on it. You ask a question, and they are on it, so thank you.
Yeah, everybody's pretty awesome there. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, welcome. I'm glad I could help.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Jen. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. All righty. Let me see. I got some more questions in the Q&A box. For those of you that came on late, star two. We'll raise your hand, and you can ask me anything you want. While I'm waiting for that, I'm just going to shift over to the Q&A. All right, so let me see. Thanks in advance for the support. This is from Jennifer Maynard. Any suggestions on whether I should use Facebook to advertise my challenge and my Facebook group? I have not had any luck on the Facebook advertising yet. I'm sure I just haven't figured it out. Any advice on Facebook ads for challenges and groups? Okay, so first, I don't know if you were able to do the training, but there is a Facebook ads training inside of the Little Black Business Book from Adrienne Richardson, who is the person who does my ads, and she's incredible, and she works in our space. She works in the coaching space. So if you have not checked that out, I would definitely recommend checking that out, number one, for your Facebook ads. The second thing is if you're going to do a challenge, I would probably recommend you using the ads to promote your challenge, because what you can do is you can kind of hit two birds with one stone, and you can advertise your challenge, and then when somebody signs up for your challenge, on the welcome page is where you're going to invite them to your Facebook group. So this is actually how I built my group. Whenever I would do a webinar or a challenge or, you know, my opt-in, anything like that, always on the thank you page, I would invite people to join my group. And then also in the welcome email, so when they get the welcome email for the challenge or the webinar or whatever it is you're hosting, remind them, hey, join me over in my group. So that way you're simultaneously building your list and your group. So that's how I would do that. All right. Diana says, on shifting niches, can you share how you transitioned from relationship to biz? I recently did the reverse from biz coach to relationship self-confidence coaching and have been finding it sometimes hard for people to see the value of relationship coaching versus business coaching. Could be my own stuff, but would be curious to hear your experience. Awesome. Cool. So what I would do is I just want to congratulate you for finding what really feels good for you. I always feel like when people transition, it's taking them closer and closer to what they really desire and what they really should be doing. So congratulations on that. And, you know, as far as people seeing value in relationship coaching, I mean, relationships, it's still a huge, huge industry. And, you know, people pay a lot of money to make sure that they, you know, are, you know, I don't know what kind of relationship you're doing or relationship coaching, if it's confidence, if you're actually helping people find dates, but people actually spend a lot of money on this stuff, and I think that that could be just a little bit of a mindset thing for you. Also, I would look into who is your ideal client. So let's say, for example, you know, you were a biz coach, now you're transitioning to relationship. Are you trying to pitch your relationship coaching to entrepreneurs still? Like, is that still your target market, or have you completely shifted your target market? If it's still business owners or entrepreneurs, then it's similar to what I was saying to Suzanne earlier about, you know, choosing your ideal client right. Because if you are, let's say, pitching your relationship services to someone who's brand new, who's trying to build a business, who, you know, is just trying to get their footing in their business, they don't care about anything else. They're not worried about their life. They're not worried about their relationship. They're not worried about their health. Like, they are just, like, tunnel vision when it comes to building their business or getting that next client or making more money in their business. So it could just be you shifting who your ideal client is. So, you know, for relationship coaching, maybe you need to work with people who are successful, you know, six-figure business owners, executives, you know, doctors, lawyers, real estate agents, you know, things like that, people that have a professional career and everything is great, and there's just this one part of their life that's not so great. And so when I was doing relationship and confidence coaching, that is who I used to work with as well. I didn't work with just anybody. I worked with people who were already very successful, so they actually did see the value in what I was offering. So I hope that makes sense, Diana, but just check in with your ideal client and make sure that you're not pitching, like, relationship coaching to somebody who's just brand new to business and only cares about getting that next client, because that could be part of the reason why you think it's not working. But I think that people definitely see value still in maintaining their relationships or having the relationship of their dreams. All right, Sylvia says, wanted to get your advice on my first webinar, which I will be launching shortly. I've never done a webinar. However, I do present live frequently, so I feel I have a great presentation on prospecting techniques for service professionals. The webinar will be about 50 minutes pure value-added content, and then I will sell them on my 6 weeks one-on-one coaching program. Do you think that the call to action in the webinar should be for a discovery call? Yes. Especially if this is your first one, I would definitely pitch the discovery call. It's going to be a lot easier for you. And then, you know, the people that actually sign up for the discovery call, they're already going to know about the program. So it's not like you're going to have to, tell them about the program again once you're on the phone. So first webinar, I definitely wouldn't try to, I mean, I don't know what the price is, but I'm assuming it's, you know, pretty decent price if it's one-on-one coaching. I wouldn't send them straight to a checkout. I would definitely tell them. I probably wouldn't even go into really detail about the coaching program. What I would do is I would tell them how I can help them. And then I would offer to get on the phone with them to see if you can help them or to see if they're a good fit to work with you. That's how I would do it. So I wouldn't do it like a typical webinar where you'll see, you know, people say like, oh, it has this many modules, this is what you get, this is a bonus, all of that kind of stuff, because that's more for like a course. But since you're selling one-on-one coaching, definitely send them to a discovery call. You can still have the funnel emails, but I would definitely have those emails, again, go to a call with you as opposed to just sending them to the cart. And being nervous about the selling part is totally normal. I'm still really nervous every time I go to sell on a webinar. So it's just something you're going to have to work through. It's your first webinar. Like, give yourself some slack. You'll be totally okay, and we'll support you in that if you need it. But, yeah, so good luck with that. All right, let me see. I have someone from Chicago. Hello.
Hi, Jen. This is Aditi.
Hi. How are you?
Great. How are you? Okay. So for me, I'm in my fourth month full-time in my business, been able to sustain myself so far, and I feel like I'm hitting a bit of a plateau. So I was doing one-on-one coaching programs, and I have a signature marketing program that I did, and now I want to move into the membership model that I know a couple other people talked about as well. So I did a webinar 2 weeks ago, and I announced it, I launched it, and it was kind of like, I kind of got crickets about it. Like, people were excited about it, and they're like, oh, that's so awesome, you're doing great things, but it didn't really move forward. So I did a similar strategy to what you just told somebody. So the people who just took my signature marketing course, I offered them a free month in the club if they sent me a video testimonial, and pretty much everybody signed on. So now I have, like, 6 people in the Facebook group, and I wanted to start on May 1st, so I have about a week and a half. So I guess I was feeling a little bit stuck on my next steps, and I also have a one-on-one coaching package that I was offering with 4 spots. So I got 1 spot filled, but I still have 3 spots open, and I guess I just was looking for some guidance on what I can focus on in the next, like, week and a half.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you have a lot of stuff going on. So which one is, like, your main thing to promote right now?
So I guess my main thing is I was going to do the one-on-one coaching program and so it's called the Angel Marketing Club. So those are the 2 main things I'm focusing on. So should I pick
and
one, you're saying?
What have you done so far to promote them? How have you been promoting?
So I did 1 webinar 2 weeks ago. I've been Periscoping. And I did a blab yesterday, and then I've been sending emails out. I did, like, 2 challenges, like, last month, but I haven't done one this month. I wonder if I should do another one.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I don't think that that's the problem. I think the problem is focus. I think you need to choose one. Four people in one-on-one. Once I get these 4 one-on-one clients, then I'm going to go hard and really promote the club, you know. But I think it might using for your audience, like, oh, hey, work with me one-on-one for so many $1,000s, or join the club for this, you know. So I think it's just a little bit scattered.
Okay, so it's kind of scattered.
Like, if you know, obviously one-on-one is easier, you know, it's not easier to get a one-on-one client, but it's easier money, you know, it's more money. So,
right.
You know, I would probably focus on that first. 4 clients. Once you get those 4, then I would start to put together a launch plan for the club to get, like, a lot of people in there at one time instead of, like, dribs and drabs of, like, oh, one person joined and then another person joined. I would actually put, like, a launch plan in place to fill that, to get, you know, 20, 30, 50 people in at one time.
Okay, perfect. And then to focus on the one-on-one coaching, should I go the teaching classes route, or would you say go straight for, like, the discovery calls?
You can do both. Can do a webinar, like I was just telling the other girl. Do the webinar,
okay.
And then at the end of the webinar, you invite people on a call or an assessment of some sort. But,
okay.
I mean, for one-on-one, you want to talk to the people anyway, so that's essentially the way you're going to end up doing it anyway, is getting them on that discovery call.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Jen.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, let me see. Do I have any other questions? Yep, got some more. Hold on. Star 2, anybody else that has a question? And I'm going to pop over to the Q&A. All right. Diana says, brilliant observation. Totally have been having folks in my world who are struggling with career and business, so it makes so much sense that that is their priority. Even if they say they want a relationship, love, love, love the group. And you, P.S., INFJ, sister here. Awesome. all righty, cool. Star 2, I don't see any more hands raised right now. Star 2 to raise your hand or type your question in the Q&A box. I'm going to hop on over to the Facebook group real quick while I wait for that, see if anybody left me a question. Yes, it will be recorded. People that are listening. I don't see any questions. Okay, cool. I got Phoenix, Arizona. Hello.
Hi. This is Tandy Alisala. How are you?
Oh, Tandy. Hi.
Hi. So,
how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. I'm really excited. I had held my first webinar yesterday and did a second one today, same one, to launch my group coaching program that I just, like, spirit just was like, no, dude, I was just going to do a mindset one. And it's like, no, that's a component of the big one. Just do the big one now. And I'm like, okay, fine. So scrambling to put everything together, did my first webinar. I had 32% of the people that signed up actually attended.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And yeah, I thought that was. But and then I had my very first paying client through the group coaching program yesterday, right after the webinar. So I was really jazzed. Did the second webinar today. Had a few less people. Didn't get any sales yet. But I just wanted to thank you because I did have a lot of questions going into today's session, and all the other amazing women that have asked their questions about all the different stuff answered it for me too. So I just wanted to thank you and thank everyone because, you know, I think we all learn and grow from each other. So you're amazing. Thank you.
Aw, thank you. Well, thank you for being awesome too. And good luck. Let us keep me updated. Let me know how that all pans out for you.
Thank you.
Lots more clients.
Yeah, I'd all love right. to get like 20 people, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. You can do it. Write it down.
I did.
You know, I welcome 20 new members into my XYZ program.
Yep.
It works.
Absolutely.
All righty. Let's see. Anybody else? Star 2. Okay, I think I got I believe it's Suzanne again. Hello?
It is. I decided if nobody else was going to ask, I would ask another one.
Sure, go for it.
Well, and it seems like there's been quite a bit of discussion about webinars on here, and that is something that I think would be my strength, because you talked about how I'm kind of going to have to think outside of the box to get the people that could actually appreciate that they need what I'm offering and kind of understand it. And I'm wondering if you could give me any hints on using webinars that way, kind of to let people know what's going on and why it might be useful to them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this, just like I was saying, like with the ads, like then instead of doing an opt-in, I would do a webinar.
Okay.
Where you get them on the webinar and tell them about what you do, especially if you're confident in it and you
mm-hmm.
feel like that's a suit for you and you can present really well. Just keep in mind, you know, you might want to keep it a little bit shorter depending on, you know, if your target market is really busy, they might not want to stay on a webinar for an hour. You'll have to think about time of day as well, depending on who you're really trying to target. But yeah, absolutely. If you know that that's your strength, definitely go towards that. I tell all my clients that all the time, like, find what it is that you're good at and do that. You know, do what feels good, do what feels natural to you. I think sometimes we think it has to be complicated, but if you love doing it and that's your strong suit, go for it.
Well, and that's very interesting that you say that, because that has been one of the things that I've felt like I needed to consider, is that it being a longer format is probably not ideal. So what would I do, like 10 or 15 minutes of content and open it up for questions, or do you have any thoughts on format?
Yeah, you do like a webinar series. So if you want to do them like weekly, maybe do them weekly or biweekly or something, so that way they don't have to be as long as
mm-hmm.
like what's doing like a launch or something. But maybe it's, yeah, you know, 20 minutes of content and then Q&A. Or maybe there's no Q&A
okay.
and you just give 20 minutes of content. I did one. It was last year I did these things called the wake-up calls, and they were
mm-hmm.
literally 15 to 20 minutes long. That's it. I think I opened it up for Q&A one time, and then it just got all, like, crazy, so I decided not to do it anymore. But people
mm-hmm.
loved them. They could just listen. They got, like, their daily dose of whatever. They got the information they needed. There was no pitch. There was no nothing. They just got what they needed, and they were, you know, moved about the day, and they couldn't wait until the next one. So definitely that would be really cool to do, like, a little webinar series or audio series.
Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate
you're
so
welcome.
Much all that you're doing for us. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. I got Jasmine again. Hello.
Hi. I figured since we were doubling down, I was wondering what service do you use to create your webinars, especially like conferencing ones? And then do you do your videos beforehand, or are they live all the time? If you had any tips on that kind of stuff.
So my webinars, I do really easy. I do it like a backdoor way. So I don't use any kind of software. I don't use like Webinar Jam, GoToWebinar, or anything like that. I actually just create a live event in my YouTube and do it through Google Hangouts. And what I do is I just get the embed code and I put it in my website, my WordPress website. There is an app that will help you with that. It's called Webinar Ally with Natalie Lussier. And it's pretty much the same thing. It just makes it a little bit easier to do it if you're not techie. But that's what I use for my webinars. And then I use Chatwing. So I'll embed a Chatwing underneath of my webinar page. And that has worked really well for me. The only thing with that is that you can't really track stats. So if you're using like a Webinar Jam or a GoToWebinar, it'll actually say like, you know, you've had 100 viewers or you've had 100 people on your webinar and, you know, 20% stayed for the whole time and 5% left halfway through. And so it doesn't have those features, but for me it
mm-hmm.
works. So, and it's simple, you know. But, yeah, so it really depends on, like, what you're looking for, and it can range from, like, super simple to, like, complicated, you know, when it comes to the webinars. As far as the conferences, like this, what we're on right now is Instant Teleseminar. And I like it because I'm able to see everybody that's on the line. You know, you guys can just raise your hand, I'll call on you, and all that stuff. So I really like that because I'm able to see everybody. You have the Q&A. There is also a slide feature on here that I do use for my live training calls in my group program. And
okay.
sometimes I record, you know, like when I do the master classes, I record them on Google Hangouts as well. I just record it.
So on Google Hangouts, can you make those private?
Yeah. So what I do is actually make it unlisted, because if you make it private, then nobody's going to be able to see it except for you.
Okay.
unless you like add your name to the list. But yeah, you just make it unlisted. So that way if somebody goes to your YouTube page, they can't see it, only if they have the link.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm actually doing a class right now on how to take online programs, so anything you have on that I think people would be really interested in, like in
what
terms of
it?
Technical stuff and all that.
Yeah, I don't, you know, that's it. Like, I'm definitely not, like, the tech girl. Like, I'm not a tech person. I just kind of figured out. Actually, when I started, like, I was just, YouTube was my best friend. I would go on there and say, how do you do this? How do you do that? And that's kind of how I learned. So I don't teach tech. But, yeah, people ask me about it a lot. All right, let's see. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Alrighty. So, let me see. I got a question from Marlene. She says, can you recommend a copywriter or where can I go to find a really good one? Yes, absolutely. I recommend Erica Lee Strauss. She does all my copywriting. She's incredible. I don't know how booked she is, but she actually, we're going to have a masterclass from Erica next month, actually, and she's really, really good, and she's also a member of the Little Black Business Book, so definitely go seek her out. She is awesome. All right, I have another question. This is from, is this Kelly?
This is
Hello.
Kelly. Hi, Jen. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. So I'll be quick. Earlier you mentioned LinkedIn, and I'm not completely familiar with that platform, but I'm starting to think that maybe my future clients are there because I am a business and empowerment coach, and I want to help women, you know, create a life of their dreams, and oftentimes that involves creating their business and leaving their job. So my question is, how do I use LinkedIn where I can position myself as someone who's an expert in my field without saying, hey, you know, quit your job, come over and, you know, check me out and things like that. Any tips or?
Yeah, I think LinkedIn, I mean, for everybody that's listening, myself included, LinkedIn is really, I feel like, a missed opportunity. I feel like a lot of people aren't utilizing it, but I know a lot of people that are just getting clients daily from LinkedIn, using LinkedIn groups. LinkedIn has groups just like Facebook does. And, you know, personally, I haven't gotten into LinkedIn the way that I've wanted to. But there is a LinkedIn masterclass in the Little Black Business Book. So I would check that out first and see what you can grab from there. I know it's kind of basic, so it's, like, just going to help you get started with, like, how to position yourself, like, what to put as your title, how to look for people, how to look for groups, and things like that. So I would definitely check that out. But LinkedIn is popping up a lot lately, so I would definitely start paying attention to that. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. I'm glad that's in there. Check it out. Thank you.
I heard LinkedIn ads are, like, really great, too, because with LinkedIn ads, you can actually target people by their title. So say if you target people who are, like, you know, executive assistant, if you target people who are, you know, such and such business owner, entrepreneur, speaker, like, you can actually put their title in there and directly target them with a LinkedIn ad. So, yeah, definitely check it out.
Oh, I absolutely will. Thank you so much. I didn't know that.
You're welcome. All righty. Let's see. We got one more. I got Bakersfield, California. Hello? Hi. Who's here?
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, that is me.
Yeah, it's you.
Okay, sorry. I'm not actually in Bakersfield. I don't know why my number came up as Bakersfield. That's really weird. Anyway, give me just a moment. I'm actually walking out of work right now. Good night, Karen.
Good night, Peter.
Hi, sorry about that.
Oh, no problem.
Okay.
Is Megan?
So, yes, it is. Cool. And I was telling the absolute truth when I said, I am still at work, and now I'm out of the building. I'm off the clock. I'm good to go. Okay. Kind of a long story, and I'll try to nutshell it as best as I can because I know it's five. And I'm a hot mess. I'm just going to put it that way. Like, seriously, I'm a hot mess, which is crazy because I'm a type A borderline OCD personality, and I don't know how my life got this out of whack with, like, everything that I want to do, because it's exactly where I was 3 years ago when I first figured out this is what I want to do with my life. Which is insane, because I was in exactly the same place 3 years ago. Different company, but same position, same situation, same everything. I live with my mom, and when I said I was her caregiver, that's not entirely accurate. She's not sick. It's just how I earn my keep. So without saying too much more about that, that's kind of how that works. Mm-hmm. So taking care of the house falls on my head. I have a full-time job. I'm also married, but I don't live with my husband, clearly, because I live with my mom. We have 4 kids between us, and it's craziness. It's just constant craziness. And this is exactly the same situation I was in 3 years ago, when I realized that my job was the root of all of the health problems that I was having. I thought that there was something wrong with my body, but medical science proved me wrong until one of my doctors said, I think you have an anxiety disorder. And then turns out I did. And I traced, like, back where it came from, and it was from the anxiety disorder. I'm like, wow, it blew my mind. And really, 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 really long story, as short as possible, I realized that because my life was out of balance, it was what was causing my health problems. And so I started doing things to correct it, and people were noticing, and they're saying, wow, you know, you look great. You look so much better than you did a few months ago. What are you doing? And I would share it with them, and I had this one guy say, wow, you're so lit up about this. Have you ever thought about, like, doing this, like, for your job? Like, no, actually, I haven't thought of that. Can you do that? Turns out you can. So I went and I got my health coach certification, but that was a year and a half ago, and I've been, like, clawing my way up to create this business, and I have gotten so much further in the last couple of months than I have in the last couple of years. But here I am, just right back in the place where I was 3 years ago when this whole thing got started, and how I decided to go on this journey in the first place. And how am I going to convince people, yes, work my program, it works, check it out? Well, clearly it doesn't work, because here I am again. So,
well, here, I want to ask you a question. Are you doing the same things now that you were doing then when you changed your life, or did you stop?
No, really, as far as my own personal habits go, nothing has really changed. I'm still eating the way that I have for the last 3 years. I'm still, and in fact, I'm doing more. I'm actually going even above and beyond where I used to be, because I know how effective it is, and I know that it's the continuation of it. It's the repetition. It's making it a habit. And when I start breaking those habits, that's when things change. So as far as my personal habits go, nothing has changed. It's the circumstances surrounding my life. I'm still living with my mom. So it's still up to me to keep the house clean and the dishes done and the food cooked and everything like that. She doesn't lift a finger. Now I've got my 2 stepkids. I wasn't married 3 years ago. I am now. I've got my 2 stepkids, and they are constantly on my radar because their mom is completely out of the picture. My own children are also on my radar. And now this job that I started about 2 months ago, I was really optimistic that it was going to be different than the last place, but it's not. It's exactly the same, just a different product. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm back in the same place again. What am I doing here?
Well, it sounds like you need to just make a plan for yourself, because, like I said earlier, like, I feel like you have the awareness there. Like, you know what's going on. You know what circumstances brought you here, and you know exactly what to do to get yourself out. I think it's just about you making that commitment to yourself. And, you know, like, I don't even care about your business at this point. Like, I think that you need to focus on you. And the more that you can focus on you and getting yourself back into that place where you feel good, then you're going to naturally start to attract people into your business and be able to help people that way. But I definitely think that, you know, you need to help yourself first, for sure.
Well, I totally get you on that, and I absolutely agree with it, because that's really what I would tell a client of mine. But at the same time, one of the biggest things about being a hot mess is feeling trapped in this corporate 9-to-5. And it's a good job, it's a good company, and there are good people, but it's just, it's not me. It's not who I am. It's totally out of alignment with everything that I believe in, and I'm really only here for the paycheck, and it feels so wrong.
It means to the end, right? Like, it's not a forever thing, and you know that. So you still have to, you know, deal with it, live with it, have gratitude for it, but know that you have a plan to get out of there.
Right. And the plan is to build my business. I'm in like a total catch 22 right now, and I don't know. I'm wondering, are there other people out there who have gone through this same situation? You know, how did they get out of it? You know, because I know you got laid off from your job, but it was a job you loved, and it really sucks. Like, God, that sucks to lose a job that you really like. But I can't lose this job. If I lose this job, if I quit, that's the end of my business, period, because I've got a lot of things to pay for, and I don't have any money because it's only been 2 months, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, I feel like my head's going to explode.
Yeah, I mean, I would connect with some of the girls in the group, too. I think even that could help you. Sometimes just being around people that have been through it, and I'm sure that there's plenty of people who are either going through what you went through or, you know, have gone through it. And I would just seek those people out and get that support that you need to, like, lift you up and take you to that next level. And persistence, you know, persistence, resilience, I think those are two huge things that we need as entrepreneurs to make shit happen for ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hard to know when to draw the line between being persistent and just pie-in-the-sky dreams, you know?
Awesome. Well, I would post it in the group and see if you can get any support from the girls in the group. I'm sure there's definitely people that can help you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jen. Sorry for my rambling.
Oh, no, it's fine. Sometimes we just need to get it out.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All righty. Let's see. All right, so we're just about time. I don't see any more hands raised. Don't see any more questions. All righty, cool. Well, I hope this was helpful for you guys, especially those that are of you who are first-time callers and new members. Welcome you all. This is really, really awesome. Again, if you're just listening to this replay and you do have a question, I do have office hours as well on Mondays inside the group, so you can also post your questions in there. And since Facebook has this awesome Facebook Live in the groups thing, I might be popping in and doing some random Q&As as well on the live. But anything you need, like someone mentioned earlier, like any questions you have, post them in the groups. You will get an answer. Everybody in there is super awesome, and the group is super engaged. So thank you guys for hanging out with me tonight. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.